And then down low, that's myself and a loadmaster getting ready to do an airdrop in Iraq. And the one thing, as I said before, humans more important than hardware. The common bond we have is we are always, specifically in AFSOC, and I would say writ large in the Air Force, looking to support the guys on the ground to accomplish the mission, okay? That's our job. So in this particular situation, that was me going ahead and doing an airdrop, resupply airdrop. I had a couple of opportunities where I did emergency resupply airdrops where we would come back from a long mission of just hauling cargo throughout the throughout Iraq, only to be told, hey, a team was in the deep stuff and they needed some support and they needed some water, some ammunition, some MREs, some whatever it was. Can your crew fly? And you know, we had just flown all that time. Our crew day was probably a little bit skosh, for those of you who don't understand. So in the Air Force, we have, at least right now, we have a certain number of hours that we can fly tactical events. And we were typically on the tail end of that, because that started when you showed up to fly, right? Well, you know, you could be a little bit, you know, mushy with when, did I show up to fly when I stepped on the airplane? Did I show up to fly when I stepped with my crew and did my crew brief? Mm-hmm. Did I show up to fly when I stepped to go get, you know, lunch before I left? Yeah, it depends what's going on. So in that kind of situations, yeah, you're damn right. It was when I stepped on the airplane so we could go ahead and get these missions done. You know, and so that's the sort of things that we're doing today. It was never unsafe, and it was never something that we didn't thoroughly talk about with leadership. But we had to be very specific as to what we were getting done so we could support the troops. I'm going to tell you about one mission that I had that I learned a lot in Iraq, and then we'll talk about Afghanistan. So, and this is actually a personal failure to me. So we were flying up, very simple mission. I was supporting some helicopters. The MC-130 that I fly can both do airdrops, but it can also refuel helicopters in flight, right? And so I knew we had to support these helicopters later in the night, so we did a couple of cargo drops while they were doing their mission. And their mission was to drop a team off, and then logger, which basically means orbit, and then come back down and pick the team up to get them out after doing whatever it was they were doing. So we got the call, hey, we need gas. I said, okay, we can come find you. We'll set up our normal setup. So we went to try to find these helicopters. And they said, hey, I said, where are you guys? And they gave us a point. And lead and number two were split by a decent amount of distance. So after some searching, some coordination, we finally figured out where lead was. And we came over, and we came over the top of them. We have hoses to refuel our helicopters. So the hoses were extended. They came out. Lead helicopter came in, plugged, and I'm just dragging him along in an orbit over Iraq, over hostile territory, and he just needs a lot of gas. And he's got, it's hot, it's you know, dry humid, dry climate, but it's hot, and so he's got very low performance. So I'm sitting here, my minimum operating speed at this point is about 105 knots, and I'll tell you, I saw about 101 in the airspeed indicator. Geez. So if you're flying a C-130 at bird dog speeds, it gets interesting. Yeah. So got him his gas, he come off the hose, he said, thank you, we would not have had enough gas to get home if you hadn't gotten us. I said, okay, well, let's go get your number two. So then and this is where the failure comes in. I'm trying to find number two, and I just can't find him. And he's radioing, he's saying, hey, I'm off of this radio of this position. And I go to my navigator, do you have any idea what that position is? And we couldn't figure it out. And we just could not find this guy. And so finally, and he was driving towards his divert field base, and finally he said, hey, I'm at my base, I'm gonna stop and get gas. So he had to land, he had to shut down, he had to get his fuel, and crank back up again and go. So all was good, except for the fact that the ground team had to be on the ground for an extra half an hour because we couldn't get our mission done. And I'll tell you what, that was one of the biggest failures I have had in my flying career. And it was all because I didn't know the position that they were talking about, the common reference point, I didn't know what it was. So I learned real quick, make sure you get good close with your helicopter friends, make sure you get good and close with your ground friends, and make sure you're all talking the same language. Because if you're not talking the same language, bad things happen. Yeah. All right, next slide, please. Okay, so this is me in Afghanistan. Like I said, I had good opportunity there. I commanded twice in Afghanistan, and it was fantastic, as well as flying missions. You know, our crews, you can see the various crew shots. The gentleman in the lower left-hand corner is actually here at somewhere in Oshkosh with me this week. He was my co-pilot when I was a brand new navigator as a lieutenant, and then I went to pilot training and came back. So here we are, 15 years later from that point, fast friends meeting in Afghanistan. And then here we are today, 25 years later, 24 years later, and we're still great friends. So that's the kind of bond that you form in combat. But then in the lower right-hand corner, you see another airdrop generator. That's a mission that was a success story. That was a mission where in Afghanistan, the Marines were coming to take Marja. Okay, Marja was a small town in the southwest of Afghanistan. That offensive was moving a lot faster than anybody expected, which was fantastic, except they had outrun their supply chain. So I had come in, finished flying a long, just cargo hauling mission, hadn't planned on doing any kind of resupply, landed, and the mission commander called me up and said, hey, we need you to go resupply these guys. They're out farther ahead of their water, they're farther ahead of their food, they're farther ahead of their ammo, they need to resupply. And unfortunately, we know that there's a bunch of AAA out there, but we don't know where it is. So I sent my enlisted guys out to the plane, get the plane ready. The navigators and I, my co-pilot, sat down, re-planned the whole thing out, got out to the plane, took off, en route, we briefed the crew. We said, all right, this is what we gotta do, this is where we're gonna drop, everything like that. As we were walking out to the airplane, our mission commander huddled all our crew together. And like for the first time ever, she kind of brought us together, she kind of said a quick prayer, and she said, notice I'm saying she, my mission commander was a fantastic female AFSOC lieutenant colonel, retired colonel. She said, hey, we don't know what's out there, so be careful. We got out there, we had gunships overhead, we had A-10s also orbiting, we checked in with both of those guys, came in. Weather was skosh coming down, but once we got underneath the cloud deck, again, under my NVGs, clear as a million. Drove up, found the drop zone, dropped within about 125 yards of their position, peeled off, came in. Never got shot at, never saw anything, which was fantastic. But we got word from the next guy that, yeah, hey, whoever dropped that stuff was great. It was right outside where we were, and we were absolutely down to zero on our supply. So thank you. So that's the kind of camaraderie, that's the kind of connection you get to people when you're in combat. Now my final slide, next slide. All right, so this is a picture I just gave up my group about a week ago. This is my son and I in front of an O-1 at Hurlburt Field. Just to say that the future is strong. Americans today are an amazing group. And you know, people say we had the greatest generation in World War II. I will tell you, the greatest generation continues to be ahead of us. So we are an amazing group. So I'm just happy to be here. Thank all of you for all the wonderful things you did.
Nate, I want to first say thank you for a great career. 20, how many years?
24.
24 years, and you'll be out here shortly. And I'm sure you'll do well on the outside world. But thank you so much for, the present day stuff. And I'll open it up to questions now for everybody involved here. There's going to be some mics thrown around there we go. We got some mics. So if y'all have got questions for anybody, the current day, for the old guys like us with Daryl, for the O-1s, after we shut this down, we're gonna be hanging around some more. And I will also mention that Daryl is an accomplished author, as you saw up there. His latest book is Moral Imperative. He'll be back there later to autograph the books. But for right now, I'm just gonna open it up to some questions. So let's see, here we go.